What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome back, Redheads, to another episode of the Redheads Book Club. It is your May episode. It's a little late, not gonna lie, but it feels so good to have all the Redheads back, ready to read. Hey, Snitch, how you doing?
I'm doing good. It feels like it's been forever.
It's been about 5 weeks.
No, but like longer than like the 4 weeks plus a week would feel. Oh. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I do know what you mean. Bex, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It honestly feels like it's been 17 months since we last recorded. I missed you, girl.
I feel like we did it last time, like in the dead of winter, and now it's like summer.
Totally
I think
agree.
That's what it is.
Summer.
Summer.
Dana, how are you doing?
I'm great. I would like to update everyone that my Invisalign treatment's over. Thank Yay. You for being with me through this journey.
Everyone
with
misophonia is
happy. A momentous moment for the Redheads.
Are you going to miss it? Like, what are you going to talk about? What are you going to do at the dinner table when you, like, take it out?
So it's kind of a good, like, transition for me because I'm still supposed to technically wear them for 3 more months and then switch to nighttime only, which I'm sure nobody else does, but, like, to ease it, because I don't like change, I'm going to try my hardest to do that.
So you'll still be wearing Invisalign.
So yes. Your Invisalign is actually not over for another 3 months.
But I have the permanent retainer in. I don't have any of the attachments. Like, when I take it off, I'm fully done.
I'm glad that we have one full quarter left with your Invisalign.
Yeah, yeah, literally. No, it's just like now we're in Q4.
Yeah, totally.
So I wanted to do another Q. They were like, you're done.
Nothing has changed
just
with
one
you.
More Q.
Good to know. And how's everyone's month of reading been? What did everyone think, like, lightly about this book? Good vibes, bad vibes? How are we feeling going into this episode?
I have a feeling everyone's gonna rip me to shreds for this one. Like, I just feel it in my bones. But I'm just here to say that I fucking loved it. And this is a book that I needed and we needed. We haven't had a book like this in so fucking long.
Okay, Snatcher, we will get to it.
Okay, I'm just preparing.
But generally speaking, how did everyone feel?
You know, I'm excited to get to it because I think we're gonna have some thoughtful feedback.
Some vibrant conversations.
Exactly.
It was definitely a snitch's choice. But you know what? Detransition Baby was definitely a me choice. And it's nice that you go after me because we kind of need that contrast.
That's mm-hmm. called balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm feeling really inspired by you, ladies, because for my next choice, I'm going with a very Jackie choice. Like, usually I go with a book that I wouldn't choose for myself, but that I would choose for a book club. This time, the next step on my reading list is what I'm choosing, because I want you guys to, like, go with me. But this is not about me just yet. We need to talk about the book. The book this month, after a really big sort of kerfuffle with the book that Snitch had announced that wasn't available anywhere.
Which, by the way, like, is that even, who even knew that was a thing?
Crazy. Never seen that before.
But the book we wound up reading was Twice in a Blue Moon by Christina Lauren. The story is about a girl. She starts out as a girl. Actually, she's 18, so she's a woman, young woman, named Tate, who has led a very mysterious life up until her 18th birthday. Very secluded, private. What is she about? Who knows? Turns out her dad's a favorite famous movie star, and he sort of, like, abandoned her when she was younger. Did he abandon her? Or did her mom take her away? Sort of both. She meets a man, young man in London named Sam, who she just falls head over heels in love with off of that OTP, meant to be. She tells him for the first time her whole story because she totally trusts him and is just feeling so comfortable. The London vibes, the Queen, sickening. They didn't, like, go see the Queen, so, like, that was
good. They actually saw the change of the guard.
That's cool. Okay, fine. You're right. Respect. So she's feeling so good about life, like the future. She's an adult. And then Sam one day is no longer at the hotel. And then the paparazzi are there. Tate Johnson.
Tate Butler.
Like, where have you been? Drama. Flash forward 14 years. That whole incident propelled her career, where now she has, like, a huge movie star career. Similar to her dad, they are on better terms. But it seems a lot better than it is to the public. Like, in private. They're actually on pretty shitty terms. She's about to film the most important movie of her life on a ranch. It's going to be like a very camp ground vibe, you know, many weeks secluded at the camp with her dad and just everyone together. And turns out that the writer of the script that she loves so dearly is the man from London, Sam. And she is just like freaking the fuck out and grappling with all of her feelings, finds out like why he betrayed her so long ago, and has to deal with whether or not she can forgive him. It was his reason good enough? And so that's really the book. Spoiler alert, she forgives him, she ends up with him. And let's get into it. Overall thoughts on the book. Did we like it? Snitch, let's start with you, as it was a Snitch's choice.
Okay. I very much enjoyed this book. I just, this is my genre. Like, I'm sorry, you can't blame me. Like, I love this shit. I eat this shit for dinner. Like, it's what I love. And the only thing I will say is that I hated the ending, just because, like, we're hearing so much about how this movie is amazing and it's going to get nominations and all the shit, and then we don't know if it even gets an Oscar or an Emmy, a Golden Globe. I'll set it for that. So that was kind of annoying. It was so abrupt, the ending. But besides that, I really enjoyed the book. Like, when I wasn't reading it, I really wanted to finish it. Like, I just wanted to know what happens, even though, like, you obviously, like, knew what was going to happen. But I loved it, and that's what I'll say.
Good. Let's go to Bex next.
I love how you support what you believe in.
Thank you.
I will say that I enjoyed knowing that I had it to pick up. So I think that that is a testament of a decent book, like knowing, looking forward to picking her back up. It didn't track for me. It was just a little bit light and like kind of unbelievable. I felt like the ending was so abrupt based on how much time we spent in the camp and also in London. Like, I was confused at times about like people's thought processes. For example, I initially thought that, like, Sam ratted Tate out to get her to, like, believe in her dreams and, like, embark on her true passion. Otherwise, she would never do it. But, like, then we find out that it's, like, a totally different reason. And I'm just like, what is happening here? Like, there is so much unsaid. And, like, then we, like, find these emails that, like, say so much. I was like, can someone tell me what is going on?
No, like, right when she put the emails in her delete folder, I was like, read them. Like, this is, it's like Sex and the City, the movie.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just read the emails.
So often while everything was unfolding, I was like, oh my God, you guys, like, just talk to each other. Just, like, say how you feel. We're adults. Like, you're in your 30s, lady. Like, speak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was okay. It was okay.
Did you like it better than Brightside?
Yes.
I think so.
Okay. But honestly, she was very Brightside-y, just like affable. Everybody falls in love with her upon meeting her. Beautiful, stunning, smart. Like, I actually was thinking, like, Sam Brandis, I actually had this thought. He would have, if he met Kate in London, he would have fallen in love with her too.
Kate, Tate.
Yeah, huh. Literally. My thoughts on the book were that it was definitely like a snitchy, light fare, which I've been reading such heavy books recently that I actually, it was a welcome change to, like, read a book where, like, I read for a little bit, all of a sudden I'm at 40%, like, where it goes by quickly and, like, I'm in the story quickly and it's just, like, not that suspenseful. So that part was enjoyable because it's been a while for me. I would say my biggest dislike, my biggest critique of the book was that I thought Tate was a really, like, unlikable, like, not developed character. She wasn't even unlikable because there wasn't much to like or dislike. She didn't have a lot of agency. She didn't have interesting thoughts, no sense of humor, like, really didn't, barely made decisions, just, like, went from, like, she was, like, so in shock that she was always just, like, pushed out into the world. And it's like, you could have taken the step at any point. Mm-hmm. Like, things just got so boiled up that eventually, like, you had a little push. So I just felt like she was not a protagonist worth rooting for. I didn't give a shit, like, what wound up happening. And every time she kind of had, like, she did a shitty job on set, I'm like, good. Ruin it. So those were my thoughts. But overall, I enjoyed it. I didn't dread reading it. And it was super snitchy. And it was nice to just, like, read a different vibe, which is why I love the Redheads Book Club, because you're always going to get a different vibe.
For sure.
I thought Tate was a dumbass. Oh, God. I agree with, like, a lot of what you all said, namely that I, too, looked forward to reading this book. I enjoyed it, especially after a long series of heavy books. It was a welcomed respite.
Respite.
And what I hated about it was how predictable it was. Like, you didn't realize this movie was based on the fucking grandparents that he told you exactly the same story as the script is written? Like, that drove me crazy. I actually did kind of have the thought, even if it was a little more of a stretch, that he did it to sell her out to get the money for his grandpa.
Me too.
I actually thought that. And like, why did you think he was married if he wasn't wearing a wedding ring and you didn't ask? Like, that drove me crazy.
Totally. Yeah. I reread the statement of what he said on the phone so many times. I'm sorry, like twice. And he didn't say, I love you. Like, he didn't say anything.
Also, he left it. Duh, he wasn't married. It was always going to be the case because, like, they just didn't elaborate enough on it and you knew that was going to be the twist. But every, like, twist and aha moment was so predictable. Like, the reader discovered it pages and pages.
I didn't even,
and
like, look at it as a twist. I was like, yeah, obviously, that's what happens next.
The only part that, like, when things were so good at, like, 75-80%, I was like, okay, there's going to be one more dip low before a happy ending. So I didn't know what it was going to be. And it was the dad, like, exposing the story, which was just, like, so fucking shitty.
I hated the dad so much.
Yeah. He was trash.
He was trash.
He was. He really was. So, okay, we have a range of opinions here.
Yeah.
And I think we could get into the questions. I mean, they're not.
Are you okay?
I'm just like thinking about how fucking weird some of these moments in the book were. Like Ian Butler being the one to like rat his daughter out. Like I equated him with like Leo DiCaprio status. Mm-hmm. You know, like could you ever see Leo like groveling for like any additional ounce of fame? Like, no. Once you get to a point, you're just like, leave me the hell alone.
Like I equated him with like Jeff Bridges. Like Jeff Bridges doesn't call the paparazzi.
No.
And leak some salacious shit about. I agree that isn't congruous with like real A-list. Like they don't play in the mud like that.
No.
Yeah.
All they want is just a moment of peace and quiet. You don't bring the pops to your beautiful camp retreat.
Yes. Yeah. I totally agree. Okay. Well, let's get into the questions. They are not that deep, but you know, we'll get to the heart of the matter here. This episode of the Redheads Book Club is brought to you by Prose. Prose creates customized hair care products for people, not hair types. You'll never have to compromise on healthy hair goals because every product's formula is made with you in mind. Their freshly made-to-order products are designed to transform with you through seasonal and lifestyle changes. Prose creates custom shampoo and conditioners based on your personal hair analysis and their algorithm. Their online quiz dives into every conceivable factor that affects your hair health. I took the online quiz and got my custom shampoo and conditioner, and literally the questions are so in-depth, like down to like what city do you live in so that they know what environmental factors impact your hair. I got my shampoo and conditioner. They smell amazing, and they make my hair so clean, so shiny. It's an amazing brand, and Redheads, you can get yours with our 15% offer. Prose is a healthy hair regimen with your name all over it. Take your free in-depth hair quiz and get 15% off your first order today. Go to prose.com/book. That's prose.com/book for your free in-depth hair quiz and 15% off. Also, it is so apt that it's called Prose and it's a book club. So there's no one-size-fits-all when it comes to shampoo and conditioner, and Prose has got you covered on all fronts. Now for the questions. First up, do the characters in this book seem real and believable? Can you relate to their predicaments? To what extent do they remind you of some of yourself or someone that you know?
Well, none of us are actresses as much as we like to pretend we are. So I would say not at all.
I would say that Tate reminded me of Snitch the most.
Why?
Just kidding. No, Tate did not seem real and believable. She was not developed enough as a person. Tate at 18 versus Tate at 32, really no change whatsoever, no evolution. Now, you can make the argument that sometimes people get frozen at the age that they become famous, so she stayed 18 for so long. But that generally refers to child stars, and I think the book was very intentional about her being 18 when the story broke because she is an adult. She's fallen in love. Like, she should be a better formed person.
Well, I think that I don't know if she was frozen at the time that she was made famous. I think she was frozen at like after what happened to her. Like she was frozen in time from that.
Because it was
like,
so
she
was traumatic.
Like she was never able to grow up from after that.
She seems so shallow to me. It was also a little ridiculous. Like her number one dream that she confided in Sam was to be an actress. And oh, what a coincidence. Her dad was the number one movie star in Hollywood. It's like, if that's actually your number one passion in life, maybe step out of the shadows earlier.
Well, I think that was only really her passion because of her dad.
No, but it's like, it's probably genetic, you know?
Yeah. Like it wasn't like she was wanted to be an actress and then found out her dad was Ian Butler. Like she knew her dad was Ian Butler and then she's like, oh, acting? And then all of a sudden it became an interest.
No, but I think, I mean, it's a nature over nurture question, truly. We should watch Three Identical Strangers together next. But I think that it was like in her DNA, like this love of the theater.
It's possible.
Sam, I related to more, just like that theme is very repeatable across literature of boy wants to be a writer but is stuck doing the family business for monetary reasons. It's honestly like Addie LaRue. Like, she wanted to break out of the farm, and she did. And, like, he wants to break out.
Well, I feel like Sam had the perfect situation because he loved the farm life. He had this, like, steady life set up for himself where he could also work on his passions. Like, really, what more could you want?
Totally. It's like he has, like, he's like an influencer, like, has his side job, like, writing, and then, like, he has his farm as well. And a dual income.
Right. Writes one thing, Oscar nominated.
Yeah.
Yeah, once so again.
Also, like, his only personality trait was like that he was tall.
Yes.
And like big or whatever. Like, I didn't even know what she meant by that. Like,
when Charlie
like muscular.
Was like, the writer's cute. He's really tall. Like, oh, I wonder if it's going to be Sam.
Literally.
Honestly, like, I had no idea it was going to be Sam.
I did not pick up on it at all.
Okay, I knew Sam.
I thought that she was going to be in this movie, be a ginormous star, and he was not going to be knocking down her door.
Charlie was like, the writer is really tall.
Oh, no. For me, I thought that maybe he owned this farm, that like he was a farmer.
Oh, like this was the farm in Vermont.
No, like that he left Vermont and started a farm in California, and they were working on his farm. I knew he was going to be on the set somewhere.
I also wanted Nick and Tate to like fall in love. I was like,
she was so fucking distracted. That wouldn't have been fair to Nick. He was such a catch. He deserved someone's 100% attention, not like the scraps that Tate had to give him.
Yeah, I honestly thought that Tate was more developed as an 18-year-old than she was as a 35-year-old.
Yes,
because at 18 she was 100%
competent.
18, and so at 32 she was like
18. Incompetent.
18. She was 18% 32. Or I don't know what the math is. Also, one other thing that bothered me about Tate. Oh, what bothered me about Tate was that she was incapable of like answering an email, a text message. Like, even with Sam's 4 emails, she missed them all because she doesn't have a phone that she knows how to use. She like is unreachable via email. Like, I can't. Like, you're 32, you're a millennial. Yes. Like, you should be able to have a working phone, especially when the writer of the movie that you're doing, it's not just like random Joe Schmo. Like, this is your colleague trying to get in touch with you. Like, be accessible. And then also that comes to bite her in the ass again when she doesn't bring her phone to lunch with her dad that's an hour away. I simply cannot.
Oh, but you also know what it on that point.
No, you go. It also bites her in the ass when all she does is just wait for Sam to call her. Please just call me. Reach out to me after the blow up with like the salacious news hitting the desks and her life falling apart. She finally does get a voicemail or a message from Sam. And what does she do? She doesn't call him for 7 full days. Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
I thought it was unbelievable. I was like, what is wrong with like your communication style? Why are you so broken?
Yeah.
Because of her dad. She's like daddy issues.
Oh my God. Just like, it's not a personality trait. Daddy issues are not a personality trait.
Wait, oh fuck, now I forgot what I was going to say.
She was unreachable. But I think you were going to say, we FaceTimed about this when we were just like talking about her, and you were gonna say like, is Angelina Jolie on her email?
No, oh, that is true. But also, that being said, she has like Marco and I forget the assistant's name. Like, why don't, and they check her email, and she said that they put it in spam. But why would you put something in spam with the subject line milkweed?
Yeah,
I think it filters by sender. And
no, she said we put it in spam. We thought it was spam.
But he's the writer on the movie. Like, that's an assistant that needs to be fired. Yeah. The writer's trying to reach out to the star.
Literally. With milkweed in the fucking subject.
Yeah. No, Snatcher.
It's her fault.
It wasn't like, hook up from London. Like, it was like, title of movie.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm on your same wavelength. This is ridiculous.
Next question, which we've kind of already answered. How does Tate change, grow, or evolve throughout the course of the story?
Or lack thereof.
Yeah. No, she pretty much stays the same until eventually, like, she just... her heart wins out over her mind.
There was one moment actually that Tate was introspective that I admired, and it was when she was relaying the information to Charlie that Sam was back and this is who he is, and she actually kind of understands and has more clarity of why he did the things he did in London and sold her out. But like, that doesn't eradicate years and years and years of her pent-up anger. So like, even though intellectually she understands now where he was coming from, like, that doesn't just dissipate her emotions about it, and she needs time to like process it.
Yeah.
And like, that for Tate was a pretty big conclusion to come to.
Yes, but I feel like in what she said, she's totally on point, but the way that she acted, like, her and Sam needed to go to dinner. Like, what have you been up to for the past 14 years? Like, not just like jump stay back in me. Bed. Yeah, either stay away from me, or like, we're all of a sudden hot and heavy, are gonna come to Christmas with my dad. Like, What's new with you? Like, there are ways to take steps, and I feel like that's where she got at the end, even though she's, like, what, moving in with him on the farm? Because, like, the farm is the only place that ever felt like home. She kept, like, saying, this cabin is the first place that feels like home. Like, I don't like L.A.
Besides the garden in London.
Invite me to your home, please. I'm looking for a farm to sleep at. They were just, like, subliminally, like, setting it up for, like, a perfectly happy ending, not, like, how is she going to leave L.A.? Like, it's trash anyway.
Also, I kind of thought Sam was a little bit of a freak in London. Like, they met, and, like, day one, he was like, I specifically remember this. He was like, anything to make you smile. I'm like, you've known each other for one day. You're full strangers. Like, your grandparents hang out, and, like, you're saying anything to make you smile. I was like, this is just unbelievable. I simply cannot.
No, that's so funny. That reminds me of this redhead comment that's a question, but the reader said, usually a big fan of all Snitch's choices, but Twice in a Blue Moon was just not it for me. Nothing of the sort. The character is the storyline, the cringe part in the beginning, where Sam carries tape from the garden of the hotel back to the room that she was sharing with her grandma. Like, what?
Or the next day when he's like, we were mostly sleeping in the garden, to the grandma. Like, everything was cringe.
Yeah, and, like, the fact that they were with their grandparents and, like, also, like, fucking. Yeah. And, like, and also, like, just the idea that, like, she lost her virginity in a room she was sharing with her grandma.
In the bed she was sharing with her grandma.
No, I think there were two beds.
Okay, that makes a difference.
It was awful. And then she's like, oh, but this is going to be the love of my life that I'll be hung up on forever and a day.
Yeah.
You simply can't.
No, I simply can't. I agree. How would you react in Tate's situation when she saw Sam on the trail? Like, she obviously was, like, shook to the motherfucking core, like, had to storm away.
I thought her reaction actually was, like, pretty, like...
Oh, I thought her reaction was absurd, ridiculous. Are you kidding? You're a grown woman. You can't keep it together. I would have been like, oh, my God, wait, we knew each other.
But, like, you're so socially capable. Yeah, like, no, like... Not everyone is like you.
I would have blacked out emotionally and, like, ran to a corner and texted everyone I knew what just happened.
But there's no service.
100%. Right. I don't think I would have run back to my cabin. I think I would have just, like, walked past and, like, walked through and just focused on the task at hand.
Yeah. I can't believe that. No one would have addressed it head on.
Actually, I probably would have made, like, a bad joke and been, like, freaking out inside and been like, oh, we used to fuck in a garden. Like, would have said something wildly inappropriate.
Oh, yeah, that is you.
Yes.
But Tate's a crybaby. What was unique about the setting of the book, and how did it enhance or take away from the story? Okay, so just want to give everyone full disclosure. This book had, obviously, like, no book club questions. So, like, I'm using, like, generic book club questions that are, like, not specific to this book.
That's so funny.
You don't say. There's not a book club about this.
Well, I mean, a lot of books that have been out for a while, like, they're just questions. Like, I can piece something together. But for this, I just use, like, standard book club questions. What was unique about the setting of the book, and how did it enhance or take away from the story?
I mean, it's a good question, actually, because I feel like the settings were either, like, London mostly or the farm mostly. And those are, like, fantastical, like, away from mainstream, isolated. And that kind of just complemented their romance, which was, like, so rare, unique, one of a kind, not mainstream. So I
actually really liked the farm me camp too. Setting. Like, to me, that's, like, goals. And also the fact that it was, like, I'll say something nice now. It was, like, this Hollywood book of, like, glamorous actors, like, romance, fun, and set at a camp. Like, it really was a very ideal setting for a book for me.
I agree. Because it could have gone the route of Gloss. What was that story?
Yes. Cassidy Holmes.
Yes. Cassidy, the unraveling of Cassidy Holmes, where, like, it felt similar in, like, their emergence into fame.
Yeah.
And then we saw the really glitzy, like, wild side of L.A. and fame that, in, like, through those lenses. And then this was a similar upbringing into the fame side of the world. But being in a campground was quite pleasant.
It was quite pleasant. I wanted to be there. Picturesque. It was so fun.
Totally.
Like, I feel like everyone there was just having fun. I wish we, like, knew more about, like, the other people.
Yeah, and I'm sad.
We had to find ourselves in one of those situations. Films.
Yeah.
Totally. I was sad for them when it ended. Okay, one last question before we get to the redhead questions. Let's talk about Sam's decision to sell the story. Now knowing what we know, that he did it to save Luther's life, he got an additional 10 years. How do you feel about what he did?
I mean, if I were Sam, I would do it again too.
Yeah. Because, like, do you think that he just, obviously, like, 10 years for sure, but he lost 14 with the love of his life. Do you think he keeps saying that I would do it again just to, like, justify his decision to himself? Otherwise, how could he live?
Partly, yeah.
Yeah.
But also, I think he actually means it too. And I found it interesting that she responded kind of being like, I was so in love with you that if you told me you wanted to do this, I probably would have gone along with
it. And I kind of agreed with that. Like, why didn't he just say it?
He said he panicked and, like, it was an impulse decision. It was not premeditated, really. Like, he was in the airport. He was weighing his options. The grandma was like, you need to come home immediately. And he just called. He was like, I was expecting, like, a call back in a few days and they called me back in 3 minutes. Like, I had to decide then.
Yeah. And I think that she would have done it for him because also in that chapter where everything comes to light and she's, like, sitting and then she's in the airport and she's freaking out there also, I think it ends with her saying, but, like, a part of her is like,
I'm happy. Here for it.
It's just like there's a piece of, like, a twinkle that's like, let's go.
Yeah, so, like, that twinkle is always there.
And also when she was in the garden with him telling him her story, her real story about who she really is, she was referring to herself as Tate Butler. Like, Tate Jones was the girl who, like, lived sequestered in Northern California, and, like, Tate Butler was the girl who went to London. Like, she became Tate Butler in London too. So she already saw herself in that way. So again, he gave her the push that she needed, and I think she sees it that way too, but it was also a betrayal.
Yes. It would have been interesting for him to just include her in the decision making, and hindsight's 2020.
I also think it's why she forgave him so easily. Like, she wasn't, like, that mad about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
No, he gave her a new life, sort of, that she was never gonna, like, have the audacity to choose for herself, it seemed.
Yes, but it wasn't his decision to make.
Totally agree. But, like, sometimes you need a little push in the general direction of your life.
Next up, we have the redhead questions. As always, our readers send us such great questions to talk about the book. Love hearing everyone's opinions. Do you think Tate will speak to Ian again?
Yeah.
Will they have Christmas together or will she never see him again?
No, I think that they'll, like, see, I think that their relationship that it was prior, like, will stay the same. I don't think that they're going to be together more or less. Like, she's so, like, enraptured, is that a word? Enamored, like, by him and, like, his, like, acceptance. That, like, I don't even think that this, like, matters. She, like, wasn't even, like, that mad about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. She didn't get mad. Like, she just was, like, she's just, like, a piece of wood, like, drifting
but
down the river.
But it's also par for the course. Like, he disappoints her. She expects more and then realizes she shouldn't and then forgives him. I think it's just, this will continue the cycle.
I agree.
But I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt and say, like, now that she has Sam and I assume that they're going to, you know, start a family and that this is her new family and she has, like, her mom and her nana, like, she is no longer focused on fixing her old broken family. I think, hopefully for her, she's focused on the future. And so Christmas doesn't mean that she has to be with her dad. Like, now Sam is the dad, and hopefully that they have babies and they have a family. But, like, she can focus on her new family. Like, it almost feels like Sam and her being together solves her daddy issue, sort of.
Hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. I hope so.
I hope so. But, like, she shouldn't spend Christmas with him.
But, like, after everything went down and she realized what her dad had done, for her to be like, okay, cool, so let Althea know if Christmas is a good day for you or something, I was like, are you kidding? Like, you don't even have a backbone enough to be like, Dad, what are you doing? Like, not the move right now. You cannot just meddle with my life and so it keeps you on the front page for 15 extra minutes. Like, just one time, please.
And honestly, though, because of her constant need to please her dad, I feel almost similarly to as if Sam had included her in his decision making. If the dad had come to her and been like, I want to break just to the press, I want you by my side, like, this will be great for the movie, maybe she would have kind of been on board and been like, okay, I want to get in front of it. Maybe we can, like, position the dialogue this way. I don't think she may not have 100% said no if he included her.
Yeah.
A stretch, but, like,
I think she would have said no because also, this is a forever stain on their relationship.
Oh, and then it's like if they ever break up, they're like, obviously they broke up. He sold her out.
No, and she, towards the end, it seems like she has a plan. She's going to do things in her way, on her time, whatever. What was the plan? Like, what could she do or say that would actually turn the tide of this narrative and not just, like, everyone thinking this is the guy who sold her out?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Explain the Luther side, but it would still...
Yeah, but, like, people don't have that long of an attention span. She would have to come up with some sort of lie and say that she was in on it with him. Like, we sold this story so he could save his grandfather. I actually think that would have done. But then she'd be lying, but...
But whatever.
Whatever.
She was lying this whole time.
Yeah. During the story, what were your thoughts on Tate? I just did not find her likable at all. But more importantly, what did you think of her pouring her heart out to Sam? She reads his emails and they're so sweet and thought out. Then she has this whole inner monologue with "it's always been him" vibes. And when she sees him, she just lets him assume and doesn't take control and tell him how she feels. Were y'all as disappointed in that part as I was? I just felt let down and her lack of words still made everything tie together perfectly.
She did have a lack of words.
Yeah, but she addressed it. She was like, "Sam's the word guy. I need to see him in person and let him know." And I was like, "Okay, yeah, girl, go." And then she really didn't let him know.
Made a bad joke.
Like, made a bad joke. Like, "Your dog." Like,
and your dog's name is Rick.
And then they just kiss. I just have a feeling when these two like finally go on a date, they're gonna have nothing to talk about.
Yes,
100%. It's crazy town. Like, that's what I want the sequel to be about. Like, how Tate and Sam's relationship fails.
Yeah,
because she can't communicate.
They don't have a good foundation. Mm. They really,
they certainly
don't.
Do not. They've met each. They've known each other for 8 total days in their whole life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I need to know, what were your feelings about the ending? Did you find yourself rooting for Tate and Sam or against them? Did the ending of the book change the way that you felt about the book?
You guys, I like blocked out like 2 hours to finish the book. And 15 minutes into that 2 hours, I was like, I'm done. What? How did this happen? I was in the middle of a book 1 minute, and then I was at the end of the book minute 2. I was like, how did I get here?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. This next reader says, "I thought the ending of the book was a little abrupt. Were you left?
You don't say.
Were you left wondering with how what happened with Tate's dad, how the movie was received, how Tate and Sam's relationship turned out?"
I just thought it was so unfair that we were like wrapped into milkweed and then like didn't get to see any like what happened with that. We didn't get to see the movie.
I agree. And also, we didn't get to see, like, how she turns the PR around, what she does, how she gets back at her dad. Like, there should have been. It's not
there's
just
a happy
ending.
There's a whole other fucking half of this book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe a sequel.
I'm good.
We Gucci.
I'm good. Last question. My question for you all is, at any point did you think that Tate would end up with Marco or that they had chemistry? He was not a main character and was gone for a lot of the book, but I thought that they had a better chance of being together before she and Sam got back together.
Nah. Never even crossed my mind.
It didn't cross my mind, but it seems like he's the only person who honestly knows and understands Tate. Like, he was with her from like the minute the PR scandal went viral and was there ever since.
Yeah, sometimes you just need a friend or a number of friends. She actually had good friends, which I think made up for her lack of romantic relationships.
I like when he pulled her aside and was like, FYI, you did fine just now. Your dad's just super insecure and like, don't let him get to you. He was a real friend.
Yeah. And I liked how they handled the acting, like the script. We would read the script and then afterwards, like, we'd find out if it went well or not. I actually feel like the way that they superimposed the movie into the book was well done.
Yeah.
And it's a they because Christina Lauren is two people, the author. Do you guys know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Two people named Christina and Lauren.
Whoa.
That's smart.
They're a writing duo. They've written so many books.
Oh, my God.
That is so cool. Genius.
We'll
like
not
that.
Be reading more.
Fun fact.
People love her, though.
People love.
Them?
Them. Yeah. Them.
Sorry.
Okay, you guys. Time for the moral of the story. What would you say it is?
Money can't buy you class.
That's pretty good.
If you're Ian Butler.
That's pretty good. Dana?
Mine was communication is key.
Ooh, that's really good.
Yeah.
Love conquers all.
Oh, that's good. Mine, the ends justify the means.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I love that.
Love it. Okay, now it's time for the Hollywood treatment. We're just breezing through this book because, like we said, it was so light. Let's start with Tate. I'm going to go first because mine's a twofer. I saw Tate as Dakota Johnson and then the daddy and butler as Don Johnson because I was trying to think of, like, father-daughter acting duos in that age range, and I actually think they would be perfect for the roles.
I like that.
I love that because I cannot stand Dakota Johnson.
I know, and I also think, like, Tate, Dakota, like, they're, like, just, like, milky vibe, like, milkweed vibes. Yeah. Like, that's what they are. Milkweed.
I'm changing mine right now to Kristen Stewart. Oh, I'm sorry. Which is the one from Twilight?
Kristen Stewart.
Oh, Kristen Stewart. I was thinking Kristen Bell for a second. I was like, no, she's good. No, Kristen Stewart, because she's also extremely unlikable in my eyes. And
we just love Twilight over here. Yeah. So, like, we like
but
her.
I also feel like she lacks a personality and much like a lot of decisiveness. Like, she just sort of exists and like makes a lot of facial movements.
Yes,
but
that's
like
Bella.
Not a lot of words. And I think that could be my Tate.
I think that's really good.
Thank you.
Dana?
Emma Roberts.
Fuck!
Oh,
that was mine. And wow.
Dina, have you ever had the same as someone
no,
else?
No, this is a oh huge my upgrade.
God. That's a really good one, too.
And then the Ian is Eric Roberts, her dad, which if you look him up, you know exactly who he is. He's an actor that no one knows his name.
Her dad is an actor?
Yeah, look him up. You'll know him,
I thought
right away.
I thought just Fred Ente. Oh, okay. Yeah, he looks familiar. Who knew? Very
wow,
cool.
Snitch. That's wow. The first and last time that's ever going to happen.
Yeah,
totally.
Couldn't have picked fucking Billie Eilish.
Now for Sam, I had Liam Hemsworth, just good, someone good like one. Big and cute. Bex?
Love that. I actually had Chris Pratt, someone big and cute.
Love it.
I had Jacob Elordi, someone big and cute.
Yeah, a little young, but like, that's fine.
21-year-old Sam.
That perfection.
I had Sam Claflin from Me Before You.
Okay, I don't know if he's big enough.
But he can buff up.
Oh, he'll buff up for the role you spoke to his people?
Or honestly, like Sebastian Stan.
Okay.
I'm going to go with him.
Okay. For Nick, I had Michael B. Jordan.
Same.
Nice. Amazing.
If you guys watch Industry, I had David Johnson, who's Gus in Industry. He's not that well known, but he was.
I haven't watched that. Is it good?
It's so good. I loved it.
Ooh.
I had Michael Belling. If no one here watches All American, I'm sure, but he's Jordan Baker in All American. He's fucking perfect for the role.
Love it.
Ooh.
Okay, and last casting, Charlie. I had Ashley Park from Emily in Paris. I think she's just like
amazing. Oh, that's such a good one.
I had Janelle Parrish, who is Margot into All the Boys.
Yeah,
I love before.
And Mona. From
and
Pretty
Mona
Liars.
And Pretty Little Liars, but of course.
I had Avril Lavigne.
What?
She was like edgy and like a makeup artist.
God. Yeah, no, she was those things.
Okay, bear with me. I had Vanessa Hudgens. Uh-huh. I feel like she like could play the role.
I hear that.
I was between her or Shay Mitchell.
Okay, I hear that. I do. Okay, well, that is the Hollywood treatment. Now it is time for our overall rating. Mm-hmm. Snitch, you go first, as this was a Snitch's choice.
I'm going to give it a 3.7. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And honestly, this is one of the most fun redheads I've had in a while. So, like, take that into account,
yeah,
ladies.
Yeah, no, it's nice to have you back, like, mm-hmm. and being excited about the book, like, that you enjoyed it does ring better for me. You know what? I'm going to be honest. When I rated this right after I read it on Goodreads, I gave it a 4.
Me
because,
too.
Like, I didn't hate it. While I read it, it's the having to like dissect it in a book club that really highlights all the inconsistencies for me.
I get that.
So I'm going to give it a 3.5 because on the redhead scale, that's what I think it is. Bex?
I'm going to give it a 2.9. And I was going to give it a 2.5, but the likability aspect of wanting to pick it back up, I think, added to it. But I just could not fathom a 3 in front of the number. So I'm sorry. Snitch, I love you so much.
It's okay. It's okay.
Dana? I did a 3 flat.
Okay.
3. Okay. The overall Redhead's rating for Twice in a Blue Moon is a 3.275.
I think that that's fair.
I think that that is so fair. So
I think so.
That is our recap of this book. We hope you all enjoyed it. I'm sure everyone loved it so much, and they're going to be like, y'all are crazy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. By the way, have we had a Redhead's since the ranking came out?
No.
Before We Were Strangers was number one, bitches.
Right. So the Snitch's choices are at the top, leading the pack. And so I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And before we get into everything else we read this month, I want to let you know that today's episode is also brought to you by Masterclass. Masterclass is so sickening. With Masterclass, you can learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. You can learn how to cook from Gordon Ramsay. You can learn how to do makeup from Bobby Brown. You can take business lessons from Bob Iger. Like, you can become the best in class with Masterclass. They have over 100 classes from a range of world-class instructors. That thing that you've always wanted to do is closer than you think. Bex, you are in Masterclass. What do you think? What have you learned? Tell us everything.
It's so exciting because I never thought that there would be a time in my life where I would have a Masterclass opportunity. And thanks to the Redhead's promotion, I have been able to feast my eyes. There was a really interesting one. It was like a chef. I forget which chef.
Gordon Ramsay?
No, it was, I learned how to make, like, the perfect French omelet, and it was inspiring. And breakfast is on me, ladies, this weekend.
Can't wait. Wow, can't wait. So Masterclass is just the best place to hone your craft, to learn a new skill, learn something new from the experts. It's amazing, the catalog that they have. We highly recommend that you check it out. Get unlimited access to every Masterclass. And as a Redhead listener, you get 15% off an annual membership. Go to masterclass.com/book. That's masterclass.com/book for 15% off Masterclass. Such a great deal, such a great platform. You will thank us.
It was Thomas Keller. Thanks, Thomas Keller and Masterclass.
Perfection. Okay, let's get into the other books we read this month. Snitch, anything?
Nada. Literally forgot I had a Kindle until I remembered I had to read for the Redheads.
You've been so busy.
Yeah, no, I simply didn't have the time.
No worries.
But I would like to pick it back up soon.
You know what? It comes in waves, Snitch. Yeah. Ride the waves.
Yeah.
Bex?
I read American Dirt. It was so good. It's by Janine Cummins, and it was so intense. It was incredibly heavy. I like knew about kind of like some of the backlash associated with the book, so I kind of just kept that in mind during my read. But it was a really intense book, but eye opening and really interesting. I'm glad I read it.
Would you rate it?
I would rate it a 4.
Nice. Yes.
You would love it, Jackie. You should read it.
I should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like everyone's always talking about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now it's coming from two redheads. That's usually it for me.
Hey.
Dana?
I read Rules of Civility by Amor Towles. Absolutely loved it. I would rate it a 4.7. It's the same author as A Gentleman in Moscow, which is very hot right now. So if you've read that and liked it, I would absolutely recommend this one too, one of his older books. I read The Dreamers by Karen Walker. It was okay. I'd give it a 3.5. Had potential, but didn't 100% deliver. I read The Fourth Child by Jessica Winter. Liked that one too, 3.7. I read Luster by Raven Lelani, and I would give that a 3.4, just mediocre. I read Little Secrets by Jennifer Hillier. I absolutely hated it. Nobody read it. I rated it a 1.5.
It's a DNR.
It's a DNR. And lastly, I read The Push by Tori Peters. 4.9. Incredible book. I would recommend it to anybody and everyone. You should all be running to read The Push.
Oh my gosh. She wrote Detransition Baby.
Tori Peters?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wait, whoa.
Are you sure?
I don't know for
sure. No, are you sure? She did write Detransition Baby, but are you sure that that's who wrote The Push?
Oh, maybe I looked at baby. Oh my God.
The Push is by Ashley Adrian.
My eyes were glazing over at my Kindle when I was writing this. Okay, The Push by Ashley Adrian.
Yes.
Sorry, everybody, for that mishap, but still read it. It was absolutely amazing.
Amazing. Wow, you read a lot. How many books was that?
It was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But we were a week behind, so I had that extra week.
That's true. But I thought that I read a lot this month. But okay, first I read The Queen's Fortune by Allison Pataki, which was a decent book about an amazing true story. So the story is the reason why I gave it a 4. But I did feel like at times it lagged. But it's the story of Desiree Clary, who was at one point engaged to Napoleon Bonaparte, and it goes on to tell the story of her life, which you think is just going to be like, oh, just a nice historical story. But the turn that it takes and the legacy that she leaves is incredible. So if you're interested in like a true story that you've never heard, The Queen's Fortune, Allison Pataki. Then I read The Hunting Wives by May Cobb, which is a book that's kind of like everywhere right now. The cover is so cute. I felt like, in hindsight, I liked this book. I enjoyed my time with it. Just towards the end, like, the protagonist was pissing me off so much, making every wrong decision. Like, and it really, like, it boiled my blood. So I gave it a 3 because I was just, like, upset with her. Then I read I Was Anastasia by Ariel Lawhin, who wrote Codename Helene. Mm. And this book had been out for a while. It's the story of the woman who, for years, for her entire life, said that she was Anastasia Romanov, one of the murdered descendants of Nicholas, the last czar of Russia. And I had just watched The Last Czar on Netflix, and then I wanted to read a book about Anastasia because apparently her story is like everywhere. So many people have said, like, I'm Anastasia Romanov, even though the whole royal family was killed. And I love that it was by Ariel Lawhin. So I was like, perfect. This is a match made in heaven. But I found that the book dragged, and Ariel Lawhin like kind of was taking the side of the imposter. So I was like, that's a 3 for me. Then I read Truly Madly Guiltily by Leanne Moriarty, our queen here at the Redheads We Love.
Love Puppet.
Because I was on my way to my wellness retreat. I had finished, I was Anastasia on the plane, so I had to read something that was already downloaded. And I always have like a few books on the burner just in case I get stuck on an airplane with nothing to read. So I finally read this book, and I wanted to read a Leanne Moriarty book for my retreat, but not Nine Perfect Strangers, which is about a wellness retreat. I was like, I just want something else by her. The book, like, I don't know if I just had no time and I was so tired. It took me like 9 days to read it, which is a lot for me and for a book that's not that deep. So I gave it a 3. And then the last book that I read this month is The American Heiress by Daisy Goodwin, which I loved so much. I gave it a 5. Daisy Goodwin also wrote a book about the young Victoria, which is what the show Victoria is based on. And actually, this book is a fictional book, The American Heiress, and it's sort of a retelling of a story that is true. And the true story is what we'll be reading for the next Redheads book.
Wow, way to tee it up. I love that.
Yes. So the book that we are reading is called American Duchess.
Thank you, Lord. Yep. I thought she was going to make us read Jane Eyre, and I was going to pick that.
It was going to be Jane Eyre if I chose a classic. But this is the next book on my reading list I was going to read anyway. And I kind of do want to take you all on this journey with me just to like get all your perspectives.
So I'm so excited.
I wanted to choose a story that's true. It is American Duchess, a novel of Consuelo Vanderbilt by Karen Harper. So it is the story of Consuelo Vanderbilt, and if it's anything like I think it's going to be, it's a true story, everyone. So I think it's going to be a great book. I'm really excited.
I'm excited, actually. It sounds good.
I shared the description with Snitch, and she was excited, so that got me excited. And I'm excited. I'm just, excitement excites me.
I'm excited, too. It's not my usual, which I like.
I think it's in the 3s.
Okay, not bad.
That's pretty doable.
How much was
this one?
What did we just read?
It's 348.
Twice in a Blue Moon.
That had to be what, 250?
348.
No, the one we just read, Twice in a Blue Moon.
358.
That was 358?
358, and mine says 368 for American Duchess.
Wait, that's crazy. I flew through that book.
Right, so this will be great. American Duchess, first week, first Thursday in June, we'll be recapping. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited, too. Jax, I can't believe how much you read, and I can't believe this historical journey you've been on.
I know. I'm loving the historical journey.
Do you feel smarter? That was crazy.
I feel so much smarter.
No, like, you are 100% smarter. The fact that you're talking about Napoleon Bonaparte in, like, everyday language.
Yeah, no, it's just, like, it's so crazy what's come before us, you guys, and how people never learn.
Russian czars, I mean.
That's the moral of the story. People never learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. History repeats.
History repeats itself. So if you want to know what's going to happen next, just read a history book.
That's funny.
Thanks, Kizzity. Okay, well, that's all she wrote and that's all she read. And thank you guys so much for another great episode of the Redheads Book Club. I missed you, ladies. And we'll all be together this weekend. So, like, we'll be seeing more of each other. But to the Redheads community, thank you for bearing with us. Sorry that we were late. And thanks, as always, for being a member of this community. It is such a joy to be a part of.
Such a joy. Truly. And it's never too late.
Tell him, Snitch.
It's never too late to be a redhead.
Never. But if you got to this far in the episode, you already are one. You're in on the secret.
Hey.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
We will see you next month.
Bye.
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 Bye.